Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So Quick did a piece on Anfernee Simons, and to no shocking development, Neil Shea is not concerned whatsoever. In fact, he almost doubles down on his opinion about Anfernee Simons, where the kid got off to a really good start. And then about January, kind of hit that proverbial cliche rookie wall. Mm-hmm. Teams had gotten the tape on him. Yeah. They, you know, defended him differently, and he had really struggled. He actually ended up kind of losing his place in the rotation, which is, we kind of alluded to it a little bit during the year, but we didn't maybe talk about that enough, how Gary Trent Jr. just bypassed him in the rotation. Yeah. And in this piece, it basically just, you go with some of the people in the organization. CJ is quoted in this, Olshay is quoted in this, and they're both kind of saying they still think this kid's going to be a stud, going to be awesome. Well, it ends with a great quote. Now, I know it's the headline of the quote, but I thought just reading it, it ends perfectly, where Simon says, in terms of how far up he has to go to get to his potential, he said, "Hey, I don't know. I don't know. That's why I call it the steep mountain. I don't know where the top is. I'm just climbing and trusting God that he's going to get me there. I just have to keep doing my part and keep climbing." Where are we? Second year kid, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Probably has so much untapped potential still. But are we leaning Jermaine O'Neal type? Like, hey, let's not punt too early. Or are we leaning maybe some Martell Webster-like quality? Doesn't quite become what you hope and kind of becomes like a journeyman.
I'm going to decide to be optimistic here and lean that it's way too early to have a strong answer negatively on Anfernee Simons. You mentioned the minutes thing. You go back and look. So just starting in like November. I'll start in November. Here are his minutes month by month per game and how they went. 23 minutes per game, 22 and a half minutes per game. Now we're in January, 24 minutes per game. Then in February, it drops down to 19 and a half. And then in March, before the season got ended this month, he was down to 15 minutes per game. So he had, his peak was at 24, and at the low point was at 15. He had 9 minutes cut off of his nightly rotation, largely because he just wasn't very effective, and he didn't have a single game in the month of March where he scored in double figures, and that's not very encouraging. The positive stuff, though, for me is the fact that you have to remember how young this dude is. He's 20 years old. And he is unique in terms of where he came from and that he didn't play serious basketball for his 1 year out of high school. A lot of these guys, at least you get a chance to watch him at big-time programs or playing in an NCAA tournament or a conference tournament. I mean, he went to an academy, man. Like, that's not real basketball. You're scrimmaging, you're doing stuff, but it's not the same environment of playing a full schedule and a full workload. And then in his rookie season, he didn't sniff the court hardly unless he was a victory cigar or in game 82 when he went off and everybody raved about him. So this is the first serious basketball he's played since he was a junior in high school. He doesn't have a lot of meat on his bones, and he's only 20 years old. So I kind of came into this season, I mean, we always get over our skis in terms of optimism. I didn't like the way that he was raved about just because I didn't want to set him up for failure and have that negative opinion from fans. And it felt like that's what's happened. And it's unfair to him because the guy's played, well, I mean, how many games they play this year? Like 65, somewhere in there? 70 games?
15 to 17 games left.
So 60 plus games, and we're already punting on a 20-year-old kid. Like, I'm just not there. This is, you know, we talk a lot about baseball teams and the way they bring up young guys and the service time manipulation that happens. But one thing that I do understand from an organizational standpoint for baseball teams is you want to be careful with young guys because you don't want their confidence to get shot early on. And if you bring up a guy before he's ready and he gets off to a start in the first 3 weeks in the big leagues where he's, you know, batting below 100 and he can't make contact, and then it starts to sink in and then he's questioning himself and you just see this kind of bad wheel of events starting to turn, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. And I felt like that was kind of the way with Simons this year. He had a decent impact early on. He was playing decent minutes. He had a stretch for a number of games in double figures, and then he hit that roadblock where teams figured him out. Teams knew how to guard him. He wasn't hitting shots at the same clip, and he just kind of lost his confidence, and his numbers and his minutes started to diminish. But to punt on him after 60 some games as a 20-year-old, I'm not willing to do that.
I think largely people are probably with that. Like, they're not punting, you know. And I set up like a cliche radio thing: is he Martell Webster or Jermaine O'Neal?
Sure.
That's probably pretty extreme given it's just a second year and he's 20. But I do think there is a very that line between determining what he is or what he's going to be, it's not as far away as you think. So let's assume this season doesn't come back, which is largely what everybody has been saying. That's not breaking news to anybody. His second year is done now. Now you aim to see what he's going to be starting in October, assuming we can get things to somewhat normal life here in America. Before you know it, we're talking about what year three was for him, right? This is no different than what we've been doing with Zach Collins. Some people reached a conclusion on Zach Collins after his second year and did not want to hear what he was going to do this year, did not think he was going to live up to the hype.
Another guy that was oversold by O'Shea as well.
Well, and I think there's a commonality with him, right? And that we know is the GM. Look, if you pick a kid in the draft, I think it's pretty easy to know that we know you believe in him. We don't need you to leak to the national media that he's the best prospect you've ever picked, or that you think he's going to be the next all-star to average 20 and something. We already know you have the belief in him. So the doubling down by Neil in the article to Quick, it's not shocking, but I do think the damage was done by you or your organization leaking to all these national pundits about how special this kid is. You do create a hype that's almost unwarranted. Seeing him play one-on-one with Damian Lillard in the summer in a closed gym is nowhere near the same as watching him play in the NBA on an 82-game basis.
Right.
Thank you, Captain Obvious, on that. But that also adds to how people feel about athletes, right? If you're picked number one and you don't produce in your first 2 years, you have half the fan base ready to call you a bust.
Yeah, you're done.
So I think it's very easy to say he's only 20. He's shown us flashes. Like one listener saying, the thing he showed us that CJ didn't even do was he took over a game in his first year. The Kings weren't
a good playing team for anything. That was a defense. That was an all-star game. Like, let's not act like that was a real game.
But he showed flashes of potential.
Sure.
And it's just about tapping into said potential.
Yeah.
But if you go into next year and he's averaging somewhat close to the same numbers, well, that's year three. Now you're going into year four. How many years into a guy's career? And I've said this time and time again, not give up, but more so just say you are what you are. We went through this with Myers Leonard for 7 seasons.
Right. This is the year. This is the year.
All the way up until the very end of the year last year when they lost to Golden State, we still had people texting in, guys, that Myers Leonard we saw in those last 2 games against Golden State, I'm convinced he can be that guy. All the way up until that point, we still had fans texting and telling us that. That was 7 years of a career, and you still had people not so sure if he's been tapped into his potential.
Right.
Largely in NBA history, guys figure this stuff out by year four, year five. Hell, I just watched a video yesterday of Kobe in a summer league game yamming over Ben Wallace when Ben Wallace was a Wizard. Did anybody think Ben Wallace at that point was going to be defensive player of the year, huge contributing factor for NBA champion Detroit Pistons? Probably not. I've said this about Chauncey Billups too. You do have examples of players that it does take them the right stop,
the right
coaching
fit.
Scheme to get that confidence, and they never look back. But largely this league is not 6 to 7 years in, now he's something special.
Right.
So yeah, year two's over. Nobody's punting on Anthony Simons, but man, it just takes one more season for him to be doing this, where you start to get people to go, really? He got all that hype, and this is what he is?
To answer your question, I think you give a guy 3 years in the league, and that's why this was such a big year for Zach Collins and such a disappointment, because we didn't get a chance to see the player that he was going to turn into. It's the biggest what-if of the season for me, because it was a wash, and now he's not going to get to play if they don't end up finishing the season, and it's a huge disappointment. Next year's a big year for Simons. I give you a grace period where you're new playing NBA basketball, first time running through an 82-game schedule. Like, I get it. I'm not expecting the moon and the stars. stars from you. Next year is the year where you got to show up. You know, you understand the grind. You had an offseason to work on stuff. Your legs are fresh. You should be stronger. You're another year older. There's no excuses after as you're going into year three. And then after year three, you kind of know who a player is at that point.
What does that mean for you, though, when you say next year is your year? What are those averages?
I mean, well, it depends on how good you think he's going to be. If you're not, if his numbers are the same and he's kind of hit and miss, back and forth, not having a huge impact on a consistent basis, then you just kind of understand who he is. But if he can make a jump to averaging, you know, 12, 13 points per game off the bench, I think it's also important to point out that's not a bad guy to have. A guy that can run the offense and get you double digits coming off the bench, like, that's not a negative thing. The same thing can go with Zach Collins. He doesn't have to score 18 a game. Can he run the floor, space a little bit, play some good defense? Like, that can be a good rotational piece. The last thing I have on this, because I know we're against it.
Yeah. Sure. It's a minute 30 break. So.
The last thing I have on this is I hope that this, though, serves as a reminder. And I'm not saying you do it all the time, but I think so often, and maybe it's the Blazers in all organizations, I don't know, but there's like this Jermaine O'Neal fear factor that exists with fans in this organization
of that losing that young
we
stud.
View young talents as the next big thing. Every single, it goes back to the segment we were having earlier of just falling in love with guys when there's not that much to fall in love with. And we've had conversations about trades and potential moves and all that kind of stuff over the last 2 years. And I would say the vast majority of fans that have chimed in, anytime the notion of trading Zach Collins or Anthony Simons was brought up, it was immediate, like, no, why would you trade that guy? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. And I think sometimes we just get too protective. Like, I remember there's trades that go down all the time in baseball, and some organizations are protective of their prospects. Some are willing to give it up. I remember when the Giants made a trade for Evan Longoria, they gave up their number one prospect, who was Christian Arroyo. And Mike came in here and he like made fun of me because I was excited that they got Evan Longoria. He's old. He's not doing much. You gave away your top prospect. I said, call me when Christian Arroyo is doing anything in the big leagues. I don't even know where he is now. They traded him to Tampa. He's on his like third team. He's like 26 now. He hasn't developed into the next big thing. There's this fear factor of losing prospects that I think sometimes as fans we got to get over. Of course, you're occasionally going to have a Jermaine O'Neal, but maybe you look at the last year and a half. Could you have moved Simons and Collins for a big piece that's better than what those players would turn into? You have to be able to, you shouldn't ever, you know, wipe something off the table and say we're not willing to think about it. And it feels like Portland has done that.
One listener says, Anthony Simons struggled like most first-year players do. Second year, but I see the point there of like actually playing first year.
Yeah, it's just first year playing.
CJ MC Chuckett wasn't better his first two seasons when he was getting minutes.
He wasn't.
And that same listener wondering, didn't we say Zach Collins would be a star? How's that working out? I don't think we said he'd be a star. I believe Zach Collins can be a good rotational piece for you.
I thought this was going to be a breakout year for him, but we'll never know because he got hurt three games into the season.
Well, you also have to recalibrate what your thoughts are too in that, right?
Yeah.
Like Zach Collins didn't really get his year three. He played like eight games or maybe less.
And now you go into next year as a year three.
So it's year four, but it's kind of year three in terms of playing. It's weird how that is, but I'm with you. Like, we do that in this city, and it's a redeeming quality, and also at times can be maybe a negative that the young talent we see, we're just fascinated and we don't want to lose the potential of what that can be, largely because that potential has hurt us in the past with, as the one example that we use time and time again, Jermaine O'Neal.
Yep.
All right. So really good piece by Quick and just kind of wondering the future for Anthony Simons. I hope the kid can make it. I think he is incredibly gifted. I think you root for him, and I hope he lives up to it. I might not like that Neil O'Shea does all the hyping behind the scenes, but we know he believes in him, and I hope that hype can live up to its potential. It would be really good things for Portland and what they potentially could accomplish.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.